Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractors Business CD of the Month. This monthly CD web series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of teaching contractors how to run profitable businesses. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the services and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. Oh, I can hear some of our listeners moaning now, oh, great, another presentation on time management. I've heard them all, and I'm in the same position I was months or years ago. Well, moan no more. This month, Don Cardux is really going to give you some practical advice on managing your time. Tom Grandy, the founder of the business series, has been close friends with Don for 20 years, and guess what? Tom uses his time management methods, and they really do work. Don is founder and president of Business Navigators Incorporated, a company dedicated to helping people chart a course to success. He's worked with over 180 organizations and corporations throughout the country. Before founding his company, Don spent years with Lennox Industries as a territory manager and later as one of the top dealer marketing advisors in the organizations. While the main thrust of Business Navigators has been a facilitation change through planning and implementation, Don has developed a number of very specific tools that are simple, practical, and very much real world. Much of what Don is going to share with you may sound too simple to work, but guess what? It does work. So why not take a few minutes and a few notes and give the simple, practical ideas Don's going to share with you a try? They work.
I wonder why you picked this up. I wonder why you're spending the time and the money investing that in listening to me tell you some thoughts I have. My sense is because you recognize now that there's some parts of your life that are not exactly the way you'd like them to be. And you'd like to explore how you could change your life and make it better. Well, I'd like to share with you some things that I think I see happening to people all the time that they do that if they change can make things better. The first thing is you have to recognize that there's a problem. People talk about people living in their comfort zone, in a comfort zone where they're not happy. I prefer to look at it often as people living in their discomfort zone. Just mild unhappiness with maybe the relationships that aren't quite exactly the way they'd like them to be. Maybe unhappiness at work, wishing they had a better position or even a different job. Unhappiness with the things they do in their spare time, if in fact they have any spare time. People live in their discomfort zone, and it's a low-grade pain. It's not intense enough to make you want to move. You know, it'd be wonderful if we could take all that low-grade pain and kind of bunch it together, put it together in one pile, as if we took a pin, one of these push pins you put into bulletin boards, and set it on a chair. And someone would walk into a room and collect all their low-grade pain into one moment and sit down, and 5/8 of an inch of steel would stick in their bottom. Scott Shepard, a good friend of mine, talks about the fact that people recognize there's a problem, but often don't take responsibility for the fact that they are the cause of the problem or have a chance to make it better. And so imagine this person sitting down on that pin, and what he does is he says, Oh, this really hurts. Bobby, are you the one that put the pin on the chair? Because if you're the one that put the pin on a chair, I want you to come over here right now and pull it out because it really hurts. Well, as ridiculous as that sounds in this story, the truth is that's the way often people behave in their lives, that they don't take responsibility for the pain, and they don't even take responsibility for wanting to change it or recognize that they can change it. See, the first stage is accepting the fact that you have a need to change, and maybe condensing all that pain into one pin would help. The second thing is you have to recognize that you're the person that's going to have to initiate the change, not somebody else. Making the change work is going to have to be the task that you have. When I talk about planning with organizations and people, the first stage of planning is to identify what it is that you want to change. And a way of doing that is to envision where you'd like to be. Do you want a career change? Do you want better relationships with your family and friends? Do you want more recreational time? Whatever it is, to set those priorities, those goals out clearly. Decide what you want to do is the first stage, and clearly make that, even written down. But the other half, the most difficult half, is the implementation. And so today we're going to talk about some approach to the implementation of the plans that you want to have. One of the first things we want to do is how to help you use your time wisely. Let's make the assumption that you know generally what you want to do in life to improve your lot in life. Let's talk about the key of implementation. And I'll tell you this way, because there was a man once in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. His name was Andrew Carnegie. And at the time, Andrew Carnegie owned a small steel company called Carnegie Steel. The year was around 1920, 25, maybe in the 30s. And he ran into a problem that a lot of people do, and that is that he had more things that he needed to do than he had time to do. He had to do something to organize his time, deal with that. He heard about a young man in that city who had a concept that might help him, and he called him in. And the Scotsman said to him, "Tell me about how you can help me organize my time more efficiently." The guy says, "I have to ask you a few questions, Mr. Carnegie. First of all, is it possible for you to write down all the things you've got to do?" And Carnegie lifts pieces of paper on his desk and says, "I've done that." He says, "Could you, Mr. Carnegie, take the 10 most important items and list them in order of their importance?" And Carnegie thought for a bit and said, "Yes, I think I could do that. Would you be willing, Mr. Carnegie, to work on the first item and don't begin the second item until you've completed the first?" "I don't know if I could do that, but yeah, I could try. I could try to do that." "Now tell me," said the Scotsman, "what's your system?" He says, "That's it. List everything you've got to do. Choose the most important. Work on the most important one first. And then when you've completed that, work on the second one." And the Scotsman leans back in his chair and says, "And how much am I to pay you for this brilliant idea?" And the young man said, "Try it for a month. Send me a check for what you think that idea is worth." A month later, Andrew Carnegie, the founder of Carnegie Steel, which became U.S. Steel, one of the largest corporations in America, the Scotsman, sent a check for $30,000 for 30 days that he had tried this system. $1,000 idea a day in 1930. Now, the reason I mention that is because the concepts I'm going to bring to you are generated out of what that young man said to Andrew Carnegie. The systems that you use, and any system will work, any management of your time, any management of you in time, will work if you use the system. And every single system will fail if you don't use it. Here are some key areas I think you have to deal with. Those of us that are concerned about how to manage yourself in time, first say to you, you need to establish your priorities. I want to give you some keys in what I call the issuing of priority drivers. I think it's necessary for each of us to sit down and take a look at what it is that we want to move toward. What do we want to drive ourselves toward? Is it career improvement? Is it relationship improvement? Are we trying to just improve ourselves, whether it's in music or speaking or getting to know people, becoming less shy? Is it wanting to improve our involvement in the lives of other people? Each one of these ideas can be a priority driver. And I think it's important to sit down and write down what the list of priority drivers you have are, and then put them in order. Because if you know clearly where you want to go, the decision of what two or three things you have to do are more important can be based on those priority drivers. In fact, if you run a tie, that is, let's say you've got 15 things you want to accomplish and all of them are equal under the priority drivers, we have a second system that we use if you have a tie in things, and that system is called prioritizers. You can look at the things that you have to do that are tied in equal value under the priority driver part of the system. Say time is going to be a prioritizer. I choose to do those things which are going to take longer, and those have more priority. Or conversely, you could take those things which don't take as long. You could take, as a second type of prioritizer, those things which are more difficult. Or the converse would be, I want to do those things that are less difficult. So time, or degree of difficulty, cost, high cost or low cost, be a second way to help prioritize what you want to do. When you've once listed the things that you want to do and prioritize them in order, the next step is to put them into a day. That is, use a system. By the way, I'm going to mention that I think that all of the systems out there are wonderful. But my favorite type is the kind that is always visible. Storyboard or bulletin board or a small piece of paper that you carry around that has listed on it what you're going to do that day. I like post-ums. I like post-ums because you can take an idea that you wanted to do at 9 o'clock, and without scratching it out on the legal pad and drawing a line to 1 o'clock in the afternoon, just pick it up and put it there. Have you ever started a day with a legal pad with 15 things you want to do in order of the priority? And then as the day progresses, priorities change, and by the time you get to 11 o'clock that morning, the paper looks like spaghetti with lines drawn all over. So that's why I like either cards with pins on boards or post-ums. I think that simple visual system works. You list everything you're going to do for that day. I'm going to point out something that I think is absolutely essential. When you plan the day, I suggest that what you want to do is plan to be successful. And you may say, Don, I always plan to be successful. And I'm going to suggest that a lot of us don't. A lot of us plan to fail. And the reason is simple. Let's say we have an 8-hour day, a work day, and we have tasks, and just for the fun of it, we're going to say they're all equal in time. It's going to take us each one of those tasks to do an hour. So I say, well, I've got an 8-hour day, I'm going to plan 8 things to do, 8 1-hour things to do. I'm here to tell you that when you do that, you've destroyed yourself. You've aimed yourself for failure because you don't have 8 hours in an 8-hour period because you have to eat. There are other things to relax. In addition, then the first thing to do and the most difficult part, I think, of prioritizing isn't necessarily listing all the things in order of their importance. One of the most difficult things to do is to make the decision that number 8 thing will not be done today, to take that card off the board and put it into another pile. I call that collection of things you need to do the do pool. And you take things out of the do pool and you put it under the things you're going to do that day. I don't know if anybody here has the problem that when you start out a day and plan what you're going to do, that there are events that occur that are out of your control and that are valid that eat up your time. I suggest that probably a minimum of 3 hours a day in people's lives. And so now I had a list of 7 things I was going to accomplish. I got to take 3 off because I know that other people, kids, husbands, wives, neighbors, are going to come in to change my priorities, and rightfully so. And so I don't plan to fail, and so I take 3 more cards off. I started with 8, and now I've taken 4 of them off and put them back in the do pool and said, I will not get these things done today. Prioritization, or what I'm going to call deprioritizing things, is much more difficult than prioritizing. But if you bite off more than you can chew, at the end of the day, you're going to have a mouth full of something that you don't want. When you decide to start working through the day, whether you take the card or you take a post-it and move it to another heading, and that heading is called doing, I really urge you to actually physically have a list and move something to the thing that you're doing. Have you ever had it where you walk in and you're busy working on something, the telephone rings, a neighbor stops by, the kids need this, and when they all finish, you're going to stare around as you stand in the middle of the room saying, what was I doing? What was I doing? So focusing on the list and focusing on the fact that you've moved the postum of what you're doing helps you refocus and stay focused on what you're working on. There are times that you're working on something and you lose control. You have to wait for the mailman to deliver something. You have to wait for someone to stop by. And so you got a task that you're working on that might be the number 3 task, And what happens is that because you're waiting, you need to move that card, you have to move that idea to some place I call hang up. Hang up is I've lost control. And so you make a note maybe and say, I've lost control on this thing, and I anticipate, and this is the other part, I anticipate that I'll gain control when the mailman comes. I'll gain control when she or he comes home from work. Or I'll gain control when the kid's back from school. So you know where you are and the things you have to do. And then the final part of this portion of the system is to have what I call a done section. You know, we all see these. The done portion, I think, is probably the most essential. That is to collect what you've accomplished as you accomplish it and put it in a place, maybe on a board or someplace, so that you can look at it. Have you ever felt this way? I started out the beginning of the day, I had 43 things I had to accomplish. I get to the end of the day and I got 52 things I got to accomplish. And we don't pat ourselves on the back and say, good boy, good girl, you did accomplish these things. The last thing I want to talk about in dealing with prioritizing and doing implementing tasks is what I coined deep sea diving. It's the way I explain the level of concentration that it takes for people to perform tasks. I think that deep sea diving, and used improperly or without people knowing that you're deep sea diving, is one of the greatest causes for our loss of getting things done and being efficient. Let me explain it this way. There are some tasks that we perform that it's like we're lying on a rubber raft on top of the ocean with a Mai Tai in our hands, the sun coming down, and it takes no concentration at all. We're licking stamps and putting them on envelopes. We lick the stamp, put it on the envelope, and take a sip. Look at the sun, lick a stamp, put it on the envelope, and relax. And if a neighbor comes by and says, Don, could you and whoever go with us tonight and have dinner? I'd say, lick, stamp, no problem, glad to do it. And if 5 minutes later another person calls on the telephone and I pick it up and I say, hello, and they say, are you going to attend that meeting next Thursday? And I'm licking the stamp and putting on the envelope, licking the stamp and putting on the envelope, and I say, sure, next Thursday will be fine. And a few minutes later, as I'm licking stamps, someone comes by and says, Don, could you pick up a loaf of bread and bring it over to the house tomorrow? I say, yeah, no problem. But some tasks that we have take amount of preparation to get us to the level where we can do the work. It is like deep sea diving. We dive down and it's going to take us 14 minutes of thought just to prepare to do the work. It's a 14-minute dive to organize our thoughts. Now once we get to that level, it's a 20-minute task. If we could just swim at that level for 20 minutes, we'd get it done. But this is what happens. I'm at the top of the water, and I begin the dive to get down to that 14th-minute level. I'm 7 minutes into the dive. I'm halfway through that dive. And the neighbor says, Don, and I go swooping up and bouncing out of the surface like a whale spouting, and I look around. And I say, yes, what? Don, could you, the two of you come out to dinner with us tonight? And I go, yeah. Yeah, thanks a lot, we'll do that. And I dive down after they've left. 7 minute dive, and I'm at the 7th level. I am a total of 14 minutes on a 14 minute dive, but I'm 7 minutes from getting to where I can work, and I dive for one more minute, 8 minutes, and the phone rings. Someone says, Don, I say, yes, and poof, like the whale spouting again out of the water, and I look and I say, yes. I say, are you going to attend that meeting next Thursday? And I go, yeah, I am. I'm really kind of busy, so I can't talk to you. Mind out, call back later. I'll talk to you, but I'll be at the meeting, okay? And I now start the dive again, and when I get to the 7th level, I've been 22 minutes diving in a 14-minute dive. And when I'm asked to bring bread someplace, I'm going to be a half hour. I'm going to be a half hour just in getting to that level. When I work with businesses and when I work with individuals, I tell them, if you could plan to let people know that you're deep sea diving. I love voice recorders on the telephone because you don't have to answer them. A lot of the people I work with, businesses and individuals, take little colored pieces of cloth. A red cloth might be 3 inches wide by 7 inches long. And they post it where people can see it. A red cloth, a yellow cloth, and a green cloth. And if people see the green cloth is up, it means go. Come on in. We'll talk to you. I'm on the top of the water, licking stamps and drinking Mai Tais. And if I post a yellow cloth, it means if what you're saying, want to talk to me about, is pretty important, I'll be glad to invite you in. But I really am kind of busy. And the red means stop. Please let me be. I'm deep sea diving. I've got people that even have a notepad for their neighbors, so when they walk in the door and if they see the red flag, they'll write the note. And the note says, would you like to come to dinner tonight? The purpose of this conversation with you is to identify that there are two things that'll help you to make your life better. Deciding what to do, the planning portion, and doing it. And I've shared with you some ideas on the doing it side. I've shared with you some ideas on how to prioritize and looking at prioritization. I've mentioned to you that the key is the recognition that you're in pain, that you need to make a change. That putting together all the low-grade pain into one pin that you sit on might motivate you. Or I hope what may happen is if you review the low-grade pain that you have in your life, living in your discomfort zone, that maybe you'll come to the conclusion that what you'd like to do is make a change. Deciding what to do and doing it, and the value of doing one thing at a time, using a system, any system, will work. Not using a system won't work. One of the things that we at TWP, at The Whole Picture, have developed is a thing we call the Personal Priority Analysis System. It'd take you 2 hours in a seminar to do that system. And in another time we talk together, we'll present that system for you to use. There are a lot of ways that we can help each other to make our life have importance, clarification, reduce the stress, and make line on a raft. On top of the ocean, looking at the sun, licking stamps, and drinking Mai Tais. Thank you.
As always, we welcome your feedback for each month's presentation. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. As a reminder, our 3-day Basic Business Boot Camp continues to take the industry by storm. The 3-day program will quickly show the attendee in black and white some of the expensive areas of lost productivity Gary just talked about. If you really want to measure tech productivity, you might want to consider attending our newest program called Service Managers University. The program utilizes the ProfitMax software program and provides everything an owner or service manager needs to know to run a very profitable service department. For more information on our 3-day Basic Business Boot Camps or Service Managers University, simply call Grandy & Associates at 1-800-432-7963 or check us out on the web. The address is www.grandyassociates.com. A small investment in training can produce big profits. The Service Contractors Business CD of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service, just give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.